Christ. The title of our message this morning is simply Money and Stuff. Based on our gospel reading, let me read just verse 15 again. And Jesus said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." I encourage you to follow the sermon outline that's provided for you in your insert today as we consider our theme, Money and Stuff. Well, how well do you think you know the Bible? Sometimes people might not know the Bible as well as they think they do. And as a proof, let me give you a little quiz. Here are five commonly known statements. Can you tell me which one is not found in the Bible? Here they come. Cleanliness is next to godliness. God helps those who help themselves. Confession is good for the soul. Honesty is the best policy. Money is the root of all evil. Did you figure it out? Were you able to identify which one of these common expressions is not found in the Bible? If you said that none of these expressions are found in the Bible, including the one about money being the root of all evil, then you'd be right. None of them are there. But the truth is, many people don't know as much about the Bible as they think they do, and many church people don't know as much about the Bible as they think they do. And this is truly the case when it has to do with what God says in His holy word about the important topics to each of us, our money and our stuff. By the way, the Bible never says money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. We'll get back to that later. Today's sermon, as you saw in the title, is about money and stuff. And today we'll focus on one particular passage, a parable that Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 12. We need to do this today because we're surrounded in our day and age by a lot of talk about money and stuff. And some of this talk, even by well-intending godly people, is just awful. Now, not that I encourage you to do this, but I confess I have a hobby of sorts. When I have time, I like to watch some of the religious programming on television. In the past, I've heard a number of TV preachers use a large percentage of their program sounding like salesmen. They want to sell me holy handkerchiefs. They want to sell me anointing olive oil. They want to sell me dirt, sacred soil taken from the very streets of Jerusalem. Again, like the proverbial record, they say again and again things like this. Send in to me the suggested donation and God will bless you. Show me the money and you can ask God for all the money and stuff you want. Sow a seed offering to my ministry and God will get you out of debt. Sometimes I'm not sure whether to laugh or whether to cry. What foolishness! Do we need to bribe God to get His attention? In the book of Psalms, chapter 50, God says this, "I have no need of a bull from your stalls or a goat from your pen. All the creatures of the field are mine. The world is mine and all that's in it." Bribe God? In Romans, chapter 8, St. Paul says this, "God did not spare His own Son, but He gave Himself up for us all. How will He not also with Him give us all things we need?" Bribe God? Jesus Himself says in Luke 11, verse 13, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" The Bible is clear. God thinks and works differently than we do. We operate in our world today under this principle. You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. We believe that in order to get something, we have to give something. So bosses tell their workers, if you expect your paycheck, first you got to give me a good week's worth of work. Parents tell their children, if you want an allowance, you'll have to clean your room. Husbands say to their wives and vice versa, well, we can go to your folks' house on Thanksgiving, but we got to go to my house, folks' house on Christmas. We sinful human beings believe in barter, bribery, bargaining, trading, negotiation, but God believes in giving. When Adam and Eve sinned, God gave them a promise of a Savior who would bear their sins. When Abraham was childless in his old age, God gave him his son, Isaac. When the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, God gave them the gift of freedom and a promised land. When the world lay dying in sin, when our sins condemned us to an eternity in hell apart from God, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The God of the universe who owns all things gives us all things. Life and breath, love and salvation, and yes, even our money and our stuff. And what Almighty God wants most from you is your heart and your worship. Not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. Sadly, we human beings who make a practice of lying to ourselves may think it's a lie when they hear the message, God wants your heart, not your stuff. Now, don't get upset when I tell you that we sinful people lie to ourselves. We do. For example, if someone asked you, what's more important, your family or your job? That person will almost immediately say, oh, my family. But the truth is, many people work much harder in their job and seem to take much more care and pride in their jobs than they do in their family. And when you ask a good church member what's more important, reading your Bible and having prayer and family devotions or watching TV? And the person will say, oh, reading the Bible and family time and devotions, of course. But the real truth for all of us is found when we add up the hours of the day spending time in either activity. When you ask a person, what is more important, your soul or your money and stuff? They'll quickly reply, oh, my soul. But how many people spend hours with investments and plans and working on their homes and money matters and things like that, but hardly spend any time at all preparing for their eternal home? Lying about our priorities can be pretty dangerous. And that's the point Jesus is trying to make with the fellow whose story is found in Luke chapter 12, our gospel reading for today. Listen again to these opening verses. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But Jesus said to him, Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you? And he said to them, Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For a person's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. A man came to Jesus and wanted Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance they got from their parents. This man shows no sorrow over the loss of his parents, or concern for his brother, or concern for his own soul. He just wants the money and stuff. He just wants Jesus to tell his brother, show him the money. And that's when Jesus tells the crowd in attendance a story, a parable. Listen again to these verses. Jesus said, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he said, I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I can store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have laid up ample goods for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And the things you prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself, but is not rich toward God. This man in the parable is called a fool by Jesus, not because he's a stupid man. He obviously had a successful business. He knew what he was doing. He made shrewd moves to financially prosper and to build bigger barns to store it in. He was good at what he did. He had a lot of money and stuff. The trouble was, money and stuff was all he had. They were his gods. They defined his life. But in the end, his homemade gods let him down. In fact, they led him away from the true God to the extent that he ended up spending an eternity in hell away from God because of bowing down to the gods of money and stuff. Now you might say, oh, Pastor, that's just a parable. Things like that really don't happen, do they? Oh, yeah? Well, several years ago, construction workers were laying a foundation for a building near the ancient Roman city of Pompeii. You might have heard of Pompeii. In 79 B.C., Mount Vesuvius blew. 79 A.D., Mount Vesuvius blew and covered the entire area with volcanic ash. When they were digging the foundation for this building, they found the corpse of a woman who appears to have been overcome by the rain of volcanic ash. And in the woman's skeletal hands were jewels, perfectly preserved gemstones. She still held onto the jewels when death grabbed hold of her. She learned the time will come when money and stuff will be quite useless. Just recently, Beverly and I met with our lawyer here in Richmond. We did it to make up a new will. It was time to update it. Please be reminded, it's so important to have a will. If you haven't done it and need some direction, please come see me. I'll be glad to point you in the right direction. Our old will needed updating. And in this process of making this will, we were reminded personally that there will come a day when all of our money and stuff, and yes, all my priceless baseball memorabilia, will be left behind. That's why Jesus wants each of us to know today that having money and stuff is okay as long as it doesn't displace God from our heart. There's nothing wrong with money and stuff, but don't think for a moment they can be a substitute for a rich relationship with God. Do you really want to see true riches? Watch this. There are the true riches of God, freely given for sinners like you and me. Our God, who Scripture says, owns a cattle on a thousand hills, a Hebrew way of saying God owns it all. For God so loved this sinful world. For God so loved sinners like you, and thank God for a sinner like me. He gave. He gave His best. Look at the cost. Look at the price that was paid on Calvary for your sins and for mine. He who was rich, Jesus Christ our Lord, became poor to the point of death, that we who lived in poverty because of our sins could become rich with the very riches of God, the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. My friends, you are rich. And God gave it all for you and for me. For God so loved the world, He gave. My friends, money is not the root of all evil. But love of money and stuff can push God out of our lives. If that happens, then you and I, like the rich man in Jesus' parable, deserve to be called fools. Our true riches for this life and for all eternity are found in Jesus Christ our Lord. A wise guy I once knew said, "Funeral hearses never pull U-Haul trailers behind them." Money and stuff are to be enjoyed on this earth, but that's as far as it goes. Our money and stuff can be used to give God glory and praise and support the gospel ministry. They are gifts of God. Money and stuff are not bad. Thank God for the blessings you have. But recognize they're gifts from Him to be used for eternal purposes. I leave you with one last beautiful passage from Holy Scripture. Try this one on for size. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. It speaks of the eternal riches we have because Jesus gave up the riches of heaven to come to our earth, to pour His life out for us. Listen carefully. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that through His poverty we might become rich. All praise, honor, and glory to Jesus, who makes us rich unto eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen.